go, 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 shawty, it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a Cardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a fuck, cause that's your birthday. You'll find me in the club.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds and the man bun himself, Trevor Sikkema, still wearing a gator hat.
You are the birthday boy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It is your birthday.
That is fake news. That's not true. None of those things are true. There is no birthday. Trevor started a rumor on social media. That's
everybody
just
go
not
wish
true.
Mark a happy birthday on Twitter with your favorite GIF.
No, please don't.
Do it.
I beg you.
Because then he's going to feel real guilty. If he doesn't like every one of
them, stop it.
He's just going to feel bad about
it. I've already went through and tried to like all of them, and I'm sure I missed some, and somebody's going to be mad, and then I'm not going to get any sleep tonight because I'm going to be afraid I didn't like somebody, and then they don't like me anymore.
What did Alan Cross get you for your birthday?
Bear hug.
Okay.
Okay.
It's fine.
Yep.
Like a hug, yeah. Or like a bear, or like a real bear. Like,
no, well, without like, a shirt on, he's kind of a bear.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, Alan Cross is a little hairy.
Yeah.
A little furry.
He's a little, I call him my little Teddy Ruxpin. For you millennials, have no idea what that means.
Teddy Ruxpin.
No idea.
Well, Google it.
Absolutely no
idea.
I'm
sure you guys know how to do that. Anyway, guys, this Tampa Bay team is on fire.
They really are.
I mean, we were talking about it before the podcast. I mean, a team that comes out, scores early, scores often.
Sets the tone.
And the defense is playing tremendous.
The defense is playing lights out. And really, I think that they're playing complimentary.
Yeah.
Sides all here, phases. Offense and defense for
yep.
sure, really
yep.
doing that. I mean, when you look at Stamkos at this point,
mm-hmm.
really being the assist guy for Kucherov.
This is the wrong podcast.
What?
This is the Bucks podcast.
But Vasilevsky's playing so
no,
well
no,
on
this
the
is,
net.
This is the Bucks podcast.
Wait,
you're talking
wait,
about
wait,
the
wait.
Lightning.
The Bolts?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is
the wrong Tampa podcast.
I said this is the Lightning Nation podcast.
Can
I?
We talk Bolts instead of Bucks because they're playing so much better right now?
I'm sure some fans would actually like for us to do that, but
yeah.
we
can't. Unfortunately,
cannot.
I have
can't.
To go to the Lightning game tonight.
What do you mean,
unfortunately? What are you talking about? I'll take your tickets.
They're not very good. They're only in the WDAE suite.
Whatever.
I don't want to go.
Look at you. It's his birthday.
Yeah.
He doesn't want people to
no, I'm
appreciate
not,
him
look,
on his birthday.
We know we're not going
go
for
to
me.
A suite.
We know we're not going for me. I'm old. I am already counting down to when I can go lay down in bed again. And it's what? 1:30 right now?
Yeah.
You know you're old when the first thing you think of when you wake up is, I cannot wait to be right back in this place.
Yeah.
As soon as I get home today, I am going right back to bed.
You're halfway to 94.
Dude, I will never approach anywhere near. If I make it to 54, I will be a happy man. We will throw a big party at 54.
Speaking of 94, let me tell you, when you get to be 94 years old, you'll forget
how old 94 really is.
What was I going to say?
Thank you, Uncle Stan. All right, seriously about this team. We've had the opportunity to speak to Mike Smith, to Dirk Cutter, to Jameis Winston, to Todd Monken.
Gerald McCoy.
Chris Baker.
T.J. Ward.
No, not Chris Baker.
No?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah, that one was a joke.
We got to watch him today.
Play poker.
He was playing poker.
Yeah, him and a couple guys. So, anyway, he didn't want to comment on his
I
words.
I got to get in on that game. I gotta hustle some people with that real money. You know what I'm saying?
We saw how you did in the poker tournament last year. Not very impressive.
You know, slow and steady.
Loses.
That's true.
Yes. You should bet That's Chris very Baker true, actually. Paycheck for paycheck.
You know, I would do that.
You would do
I
that.
Would do that.
I would do that in a heartbeat. Well, I would take that gamble.
I would bet anybody in that locker
people
room.
People already think
paycheck,
that Baker's
yeah.
stealing money, so.
Easy. That's not very nice.
I said people. I didn't say me.
But you raised your hand.
If you read the cover
but you
three,
raised your
you
hand.
Would know that yes. I don't think that.
Well, I tried to read the cover three Tuesday morning when I got up.
Oh, God.
Tuesday afternoon.
It wasn't there.
I look for it Tuesday evening. I thought, well, for sure we'll see it first thing Wednesday.
Well, today's morning. Wednesday, so it was up, right? No,
oh, it's up, but it's
no,
not Wednesday.
No, today's Thursday.
Oh.
Thursday.
Oh, it is Thursday. Oh, yeah. Anyway, the cover five came out, and every day it's late. We're going to add a number to the coverage, but we ought to make you just write another section.
Like Mike Smith does, right? Just adds another player into coverage. Yeah.
Well, you didn't make very good in-game adjustments, Trevor.
That's true.
And you were left behind. But anyway, excellent cover three today. You can check out of the deficiencies in the scheme and the coaching and all of the things that Trevor's able to see when looking at the All-22 and some different film of what's going on with this Buccaneer defense. Trevor, talk about the thing that probably stood out to you most when you started looking at the film.
I mean, it's just it's kind of the same old stuff. And I don't – people keep asking me what the difference between last year's Bucks defense and this year's Bucks defense is. And, I mean, they're kind of playing the same – they're playing the same scheme, but – I think last year they just had a little bit of luck. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're about to finish this year. Not about to finish. I mean, we're halfway through the year. But they're on pace to finish with 20 less sacks than they had the year before, which is very not good.
This team's not even going to get 20 sacks.
There is certainly
– the way they're going right now.
Right. There are certainly, like, things that need to get better on the defensive line. And actually, no, I guess, like – You, Scott, have seen some of what's been going wrong with the defensive line and, like, the specifics there.
Right, and I think it's spacing, too. In the cover three, you have that damning LeSean McCoy touchdown run where the Buccaneers have one player, that's Quan Alexander, who's, by my estimation, 2 to 3 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Really halfway between the goal line and the line of scrimmage.
Was this a LeSean McCoy touchdown?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And the Buccaneers don't have anybody else in the A-gaps. The A-gaps are
neither
wide
of them.
Open.
Neither of them.
Yeah.
So they ran 3-3-5 in the red zone against a team that runs the football.
Yes.
There was not a single Buccaneer player.
It's easy.
There was not a single Buccaneer player in front of either guard or the center.
Yeah. It was,
that's not even football.
I mean, if you are Tyrod Taylor and you see this, aren't you, like, looking over your shoulder and saying – to LeSean McCoy, like,
do they have 10 people on the field?
Yeah.
Basically, you go, wait, do they have 9 people on the field?
What's going on? You could call the shot. You could turn around to LeSean McCoy and say, hey, bro, you're going to score. Like, you're going to score. Hey, be thinking about that touchdown dance because it's about to happen.
And it did.
And it did. And it was easy. It was easy.
And that wasn't the worst part about it is that wasn't the only time they ran 3-3-5 in the red zone.
Yeah.
They did it on a different occasion.
They ran a lot of 3-3-5. During the game, they started off, matter of fact, on 3rd and 5, the very first third down, they were in a 3-3-5. And the reason,
it worked out well. They were able to get off the field.
Not.
Get the ball back.
No.
No?
Did not.
Okay.
No.
Wrong.
And they got off the field with a loss. That's what they did.
The premise was, because Ryan Russell didn't play, that they would go with an extra linebacker on the field. They were saying Kendall Beckwith was better than having another defensive lineman like
Clinton
McDonald or Will Golston on the field.
I don't get it.
In those situations. And I don't either. I really don't. Because none of that stuff worked. Dirk Koetter even said as much on Monday in his press conference. The 3-3-5 defense did not work.
I mean, he said, like, Koetter was like, oh, there's pluses and minuses to every scheme. It's like, oh, yeah, a 3-3-5 is basically exclusive to if you play in the Big 12.
Yes.
Or... if you are up by 30
and
the other team has the ball in the fourth quarter, that's about the only time you see a 3-3-5 ever. And they were playing it on – not only were they – like, even if, let's say, you know, 3rd and 18, you want to play 3-3-5 and just basically guard the first down, fine, whatever. They were, like, putting themselves in 3-3-5 on, like, 2nd and 8.
Yeah. And it didn't work, and a lot of it is because of the scheme design and the spacing. And this goes back to – right after the Giants game, I talked to Warren Sapp at length, and you can read that SR's Fab 5, where we had some film breakdown in there that Sapp kind of helped us point out stuff to you in terms of the spacing. A lot of times, the Buccaneers play that wide 9 technique for their defensive ends, and they are kicked out so far past the tight end that when the tight end releases, the offensive tackle isn't even worried about the defensive end because he's about 7 steps away.
Nope.
So what happens is the defensive end will crash down. I'm sorry, the right tackle will crash down on the defensive tackle and help the guard double team there. And then when, whether it's Noah Spence, whether it's Robert Ayers, whoever it is, finally comes into range, then they will release him to the guard, meaning the defensive tackle, and go wheel the defensive end around. We've seen Tyrod Taylor, we've seen Tom Brady, we've seen Eli Manning stand in the pocket, and people are flying by, and it's just cool, calm, collected.
They're not even going at the quarterback. It's
exactly.
Like they're just running.
They're buzzing around like flies.
There's no plan. There's no attack. There's no making the pocket smaller. They're
Gerald
just
McCoy,
wasted movement.
Gerald McCoy does not like this. I've known Gerald enough over the years to be able to read his body language, what he says, what he doesn't say.
Yeah, man, for
and
real.
And he is very, very unhappy. I don't think he necessarily is in agreement with Jay Hayes and with Mike Smith. Those are my words, not his. But
My words too.
But yeah, it's he is very unhappy. And I'll tell you what too. And I talked to Warren Sapp about this, and Sapp said, well, you know that I wouldn't be biting my tongue. If I'm Gerald McCoy, I go to Dirk Cutter and Mike Smith and get Jay Hayes in the room too and say, listen, I'm going to do something that's not really in my nature, but I'm the highest paid Buccaneer in this building. I am Mr. Pro Bowl in this building, and you are misusing me, and it's hurting my team because I am a team captain. And I'm not trying to be selfish about this, but if you want to put this defense and this team in position to win, here's how you use me. Get me as many one-on-ones with guards as possible in a four-man front. Let me rush the field straight ahead. Stop these stupid twists and games that you, Dirk, you, Mike, and you, Jay, can see aren't working. And too many times we're creating open passing windows and running lanes for quarterbacks.
What's the definition of insanity?
Keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Yes. And that's what's happening.
So basically what you're saying, Scott, is this staff is insane, clinically insane.
I'm saying...
I'm just kidding. They're not clinically insane. But at some point, they've got to realize this is not working. And I have an appearance on Buccaneers.com coming up in there. I don't even know what the show's called, but it comes out on Friday. But I say the same thing. I mean, at this point of the season, you're 2-4. You're at the bottom of the rankings defensively in almost every single category.
Right. Certainly in sacks.
You have got to figure... You've got to try something else. You know what? If you blitz more, if you put more pressure and some balls go over your head, that's okay. At least you tried something different. You're going down with a fight. Right now, the status quo is going to get you 6-10 if you're lucky.
Yeah. And that was it.
And you're wasting an offense. It is on fire, particularly in the second half. I'm telling you, we saw it, guys. We saw what this offense can be in the second half of that game.
Just put
there
him in
was
games.
No way if Adam Humphries doesn't fumble that ball, the Buccaneers don't march down and score and put points on the board. There's just no way. Bills had no answers at that point. Jameis is completely utilizing every weapon. Dirk Cutter was in a complete groove.
That Jameis
was on
Bills
fire.
Was the best play call game that we've seen this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Even in a loss.
Yeah.
He came out with short passes in the underneath part of the coverage to get Jameis in a rhythm, to get Jameis completing passes, and I thought he was on point for most of the game, had the bad decision to throw to Cam Brate, was picked off. Didn't
it's the NFL.
Yeah, it didn't result in any points for the Bills. His throw was a little behind Cam in the end zone, should have been a touchdown, but I mean, Jameis Winston, for playing with a bad arm, I don't think outside of winning the game you could expect any more from what he was able to do slinging the ball around.
You take that, I understand that. But you had that 55-yard reception to DeSean Jackson back.
He's over 400 yards.
Over 400 yards.
Yeah.
And slowly, because I didn't really realize this till I saw the tweet the other day, how high the Buccaneer passing offense is ranked.
It's
number one in the league.
Yeah, they're basically top five in all of these passing categories. And don't get me wrong, you know, a couple weeks ago, people who are listening to this podcast will say, well, you said the stats were a lie on some of them, and you're right. Some of it's garbage time, but whatever. Because when even if like some of the stats are garbage time stats, which were true a couple weeks ago when we were talking about it, games like the ones we saw against Buffalo
were not
They make you think, oh, okay, it's not total fool's gold.
Right.
They can put it together.
Right.
You know, some stats are fool's gold, but
you know what the common denominator is though when this offense starts clicking. It sounds simple, but it's true. It's Jameis Winston playing well. When he gets in a groove, this offense can do whatever it wants. There's not a defense that can really stop it. They stop themselves. The slow starts and things like that, we go back to the Patriots game. They should have won that game. You know, if they have a decent field goal kicker, they probably do. But the bottom line is Jameis Winston could have played a hell of a lot better in the first three quarters. But once he got in that groove in the fourth quarter, you know, he was unstoppable. So, you know, we can break down this, we can break down that. If Jameis Winston is playing well offensively, this team can't help but not move the football.
Yep.
A lot of their wounds are self-inflicted. And, like, sometimes you hear coaches say that and you're just like, oh, that's coach speak, you know, right. Blah, blah, blah. But when Dirk really says, like, we're the only ones who beat ourselves – I agree with that mostly for the offense, for sure. Defense, things are a little bit different. I mean, just schematically how they set things up, I don't like it. I don't think they're giving their guys the best chance to win. But on offense, certainly, you know, if this offense doesn't score more than 25 points a game, they got in their own way. That's what I think.
Yeah.
So,
and sadly, if this was a mediocre defense, if this was the 18th ranked defense,
yes,
this team's 4-2.
This team's 4-2. Yeah.
You know, and that's a shame. The good news is the Buccaneers have a lot of home games at home. I mean, upcoming still. Normally, home games are at home.
That's,
you know, stating the obvious. Normally. Normally. Yeah. Occasionally, they're not, but most of the time they are. But they're playing better at home, and that's a weird thing. Look, I understand there's emotion, and you're playing in a different stadium, and you're traveling and things like that, but football is the same. I mean, I think Dirk needs to pull out the old Gene Hackman from Hoosiers trick. I know you guys probably don't remember that movie, but they made it to the state championship, and he go into the big dome, and he gives the tape measure. How tall is the rim?
Yeah.
To the ground? 10 feet. How far from the rim to the free throw line? Same as the same gym in Hickory High School.
That's right.
Football is football between the white lines. It's still a 100-yard long field.
Yep.
And, you know, why this team doesn't perform as well. This team stops the run at home.
They do.
They stop the run at home. Why they can't do it on the road, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's two different defenses. There's no doubt about it. I want to know which Carolina Panthers team is going to show up on Sunday, because we kind of have an idea of what Buccaneer team is going to play like at home. I mean, we've seen this offense come to life in the Giants game, especially getting off to a good start. Mm-hmm. We've seen the run defense be so much better. We've seen more takeaways at home than on the road. But look at the Panthers and some of their scores. They start the season 23-3 win at San Francisco. Okay, that's fine. That's the 49ers. Then they return home and they barely beat the Buffalo Bills 9-3. Scoring was a problem. Then the Saints.
Wait, the same Bills team the Buccaneers defense gave up 30 points to?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. They only gave up
three.
Very
same. Yep.
Just checking.
Then the Saints come to Carolina and beat them 34-13. So, again, 13 points, not much scoring.
Right.
And this is right around the time when Greg Olsen went out. So, that's a big part of their offense for sure.
Their offense coordinator, Greg Olsen?
No. The tight end.
Okay.
Yeah. Then they go up to New England.
That's a joke, by the way. I know Mike Shula is the offensive coordinator. We're talking about Ole from here when he was the
former offensive coordinators, right. Mike Shula and Greg Olsen.
Yep.
Then they go up to New England and beat the Patriots 33-30 in a game nobody saw coming, especially the Patriots.
Right.
Then they travel to Detroit and beat the Lions 27-24. Then they come home and lose 28-23 on Thursday night to the Eagles. Then last week, they travel to Chicago and get smoked by the Bears 17-3. Cam Newton had an awful game.
Yeah, Mike Glennon, you show him.
No, it was Mitch Trubisky.
Oh.
Well, I mean, Mike Glennon was there.
He was there, yeah. That was moral support.
He was cheering him on.
Cheering him on, exactly. So I just want to know what Panthers team is going to come into Ray J, because I have no idea what this Panthers team
it shouldn't
is
matter.
Like.
It shouldn't matter, right? I mean, the Bucs are more talented than the Panthers. It shouldn't matter. You guys don't think the Bucs are more talented than the Panthers?
I think.
Are you serious?
Their offense is – the Buccaneer offense has got more talent than the Panthers offense, yes.
I think the Buccaneer defense – completely the other way around.
I am very – I think
the Buccaneers have
suspect.
Basically a more talented defense. If not, it's even.
Well,
I mean, they're
the,
not playing
we
well,
We know the Panthers
certainly,
have a better kicker on the practice squad than the Buccaneers do.
Jeez. If Aguayo has to
Here
play –
Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, he'll beat this team on the last second field goal.
If it happens.
That's the way it
How
works.
Nuclear do things go?
Listen, there's a thing called Buck Luck, okay? It's where Case Keenum beats you 3 years in a row. Yeah. And
Adrian
Peterson
real. Basically comes out of retirement and runs for 375 yards in the first quarter.
Yeah. And
then has 13 the next week and the Cardinals score zero. It's Buck Luck.
If Roberto Aguayo ends up playing and kicking that field goal, that would be the worst Buck Luck of all time.
From 43 plus.
Of course.
That
yeah,
would
of course.
Know,
yes.
just stop
yeah.
me. That'd be
yeah.
like a 51
like,
yard.
Now, like 47.
Yeah.
I'm
now,
thinking.
Here's the one thing. If let's say Aguayo's kicking. Let's say he's lining up for the game-winning field goal. Okay. Let's say the Panthers are down by 1 or 2 points. He's lining up there. I'm calling a timeout if I'm Dirk Cutter. Not necessarily to ice the kicker, but to make sure Chris Baker is on the field.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, Chris, don't even rush. I want you to stand up and start swearing at Roberto Aguayo, uttering as many profanities as you can get away with without getting a sportsmanlike conduct penalty. But basically, taunt him without taunting mm-hmm. him.
Yep.
And just like you did in training camp practices. And then if you are sitting in one of those corner areas of the stadium – you better be prepared to catch a football, because I think Roberto Aguayo would miss so bad it would like yeah. not even the net would save it from hitting in the stands.
Well, that would be Buck's luck. I don't think that's going to happen. In fact, I think Gano was kicking yesterday. He's probably going to be the guy.
Do you guys think Sunday. Simeon Rice gets a sack this weekend for the Bucks?
No, but as Greg Almond tweeted out, he currently is tied for third with the Buccaneers defensive ends with
zero
sacks.
He said Simeon Rice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess technically Simeon Rice is.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah. He's technically tied for third with zero.
I thought you were talking about Daryl Tapp.
Well, that's the original tweet. But, yeah. I mean, technically you're tied for third place right now.
I am, yeah.
I am. Trevor is.
Yes.
Because true. you've got a sack from Robert Ayers and Noah Spence.
Yeah.
That's it. So anybody else who gets a sack is automatically tied for first. Anybody else who's on the field is tied for third.
Gerald McCoy has two. Clinton McDonald has two.
Right.
So
defensive
end. No, we're talking D-ends, just straight D-ends.
Yeah, I understand. It's bleak.
But anyway, we'll see what happens this week. Look, if the Buccaneers can't stop the run this week, they're never going to stop the run because the Panthers just don't run the ball well at all this year. McCaffrey.
Which is weird. You'd think that they would be able to.
You have Jonathan Stewart. They drafted McCaffrey.
Jonathan Stewart's been getting kind of old, though.
Yeah, he is.
He's not the player he once was.
He was a buck killer for a long time.
Oh, yeah, he and D'Angelo Williams for sure.
Team those guys up. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But
if they play 3-3-5 again, they'll have a good day.
But I mean, if the Panthers want to get the Panthers are thinking to themselves, here's an opportunity to get our running game on track against this team right here, who's one of the worst in the league.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if I'm Mike Smith, maybe you look to Pop Warner and go 5-2, you know?
Jeez.
Just saying.
Go Bears 46. Show Ron Rivera, who was on that team, he remembers it.
Right. Yeah.
Just start the game off in 4-6.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised that Christian McCaffrey's not been as dynamic as I thought he was going to be. I really thought this
not
guy.
Not me.
I know. You weren't on the McCaffrey train, but
still
I was.
Not. No McCaffrey.
And then they drafted Curtis Samuel immediately after.
Yeah.
And it's like they can't figure out how
I was not a fan of Curtis Samuel. Wasn't a fan.
I think they – I don't know. I guess they drafted him because they both thought they could be, like, mismatch players, but they can't even figure out how to get McCaffrey.
Well, then they realized Mike Shula was the offensive coordinator. He had a hard time figuring out how to use Warwick Dunn and Mike Alstott.
How disappointing. I mean, okay, if you're a Buccaneer fan or you're a Panther fan, let's just take the Bucs out of the equation. I mean – how frustrating is it to have a quarterback like Cam Newton who can look like the Pro Bowl quarterback one game that took a team to a Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
and then just look completely awful like he did last week against the Bears and really the week before that Monday night game against the Eagles? Or was it a Thursday night game? I don't know. It was a national game. But he was brutal in that game. I think he had three interceptions. There was probably two or three more that were dropped in that game.
He came alive a little bit running the ball later in that game. But
I mean, you that's got to be frustrating. I mean, because – you can't get rid of the guy. I mean, it literally was the guy who took you to the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
MVP. It's like, you this know. Is who you have.
But you've got a guy who's creating controversy, walking out of press conferences.
Yesterday's was weird.
Yeah.
That was real weird, because that was like a – did you see it, Scott?
I didn't see it, but he didn't he stay away from the media all of last week?
I don't really know. I don't know any of that. All I know is, like, they asked him – I think the question before, they asked him about, like, energy and, like, getting – started quick or something. He's like, yeah, I mean, it's just something we got to be consistent right off the bat, and we just got to be able to get all the guys' energy and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, and then the next question, and he answered that, and he looked totally fine.
Right.
And then the next question, somebody said, you know, Cam, you know, chunk plays, these big plays are a part of getting a lot of energy from your offense and being able to keep it. Do you think that you have the offensive pieces to sustain that kind of, you know, get those big chunks when you need to? It's a simple question.
Right.
All you have to say is yes. Yeah, I think we got the guys to be able to do
Calvin
something
Benjamin,
like that.
Devin Funches.
All you have to say is yes. And he just stood there and he goes, next question. And then nobody says a question for 2 seconds, and he immediately leaves. It was the strangest thing. Cam is just such
I've never been a fan of his. You know, I never have been. And people said I was piling on during his Super Bowl.
Right.
A little temper tantrum, whatever it was. And I don't care. I've never been a fan of Cam Newton. The personality, I guess you can say. I think he's a hell of a quarterback. When he gets things rolling, I think that he is as dynamic as any player there, but not a fan of the way he dresses either.
Well, I mean,
well, I like that. You know, that's a cool thing I do like about him. Yeah, I don't like the fact that he played for the Gators and then played for Auburn. Yeah. Not a fan of the SEC, Cam Newton.
Oh, okay.
You guys are you're not a fan of him either.
True, no. True story.
Neither are laptop companies.
Gator great Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Cam Newton was down to two schools, Auburn and Kansas State.
Really?
Yes.
Kansas State? You
guys? Yes. Yes. He was very close because we have the running quarterbacks.
And you guys
Michael
got
Bishop,
outbid
Elle Roberson
for him?
Yeah. I mean, they.
Yes, because we don't pay for players. That's why we suck.
Well, that's why you were never going to get him.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
He finessed Auburn into giving him
a lot
of money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Dad walks in and says, you know, Coach Snyder.
Wait. Snyder. No, he finessed University of Florida into giving him a lot of money, right?
No.
Are you saying when he left? Oh, when he left.
When he
left Florida.
That, yeah, it
yeah,
was,
yeah, yeah.
Was
yeah, he went to Blinn Junior College.
That's
yeah.
right.
For a year.
Right.
Which is where Michael Bishop went to junior college. So he knew the
right.
whole story about him going to K-State and finishing second in the
You guys
Heisman.
Are king of picking up the scrap heap at the junior colleges, the troubled
we,
kids.
We were, yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of success there, yeah. No doubt
Uncle
about
Stan
it.
Is your coach, Bill Snyder. He looks
wow.
like, I picture Bill Snyder talking like Uncle Stan.
No, not at all.
He kind of does.
The funny thing about Bill Snyder is...
How old is Bill Snyder?
77.
Does he know where he is?
He knows where he is.
Weekend
yeah.
at Bernie's?
He's not dead yet. I'm going to see the man coach probably his final game in a couple
weeks.
He's
got cancer, doesn't he?
He did. He had through a cancer, yeah.
Well, he shouldn't chew tobacco.
He didn't chew tobacco.
Well,
he's just 77.
There's my point. That's why I chew tobacco. Look at him.
That
he
argument,
never chewed
that
tobacco.
That switched real quick.
See?
Oh, God.
I mean, Bill Snyder had... Grandpa, everybody loves him. 77, he gets throat yep. cancer. Never dipped a day in his life. He should have been dipping all along.
I don't really know how we got to this point in the conversation.
I'm going
to
wrap it up.
We're running out of stuff to talk about.
I'm going to wrap it up by saying this about Bill Snyder. He still calls young players youngsters. He uses that term, youngsters.
Like Uncle Stan.
Like Uncle Stan, yes. And he also, like, you could have a quarterback throw for 300 yards, rush for 150, score 5 touchdowns. So, Coach Snyder, your quarterback played amazing today. He's like the number one guy leading the Heisman race. What do you think? I thought he played reasonably well. Like, that's all you get out of Bill Snyder.
Yeah.
He never uses the word great. Ever.
Ever?
Yeah.
Well, it kind of describes his program. Never used the word great.
Jordy Nelson, Darren Sproles, Terrence Newman. Who's the greatest Kansas State Wildcat out of the
Josh Freeman.
No.
Yeah.
No,
ask us again.
Josh Freeman didn't
ask
play
us.
For Bill
Just
Snyder.
Just ask us.
Out of
who's
Terrence Newman, Jordy Nelson, Darren Sproles, who is the greatest Kansas State Wildcat?
Josh Freeman.
No, not at all.
One right. more time. We'll get it right this time.
No.
Okay.
My point is that he would say...
Ron Freeman.
They all played reasonably well for me.
Derek McBride.
Derek McBride. Here you go. Yeah. Martin Grammatica.
Good friend of mine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay, so we got the Panthers coming up.
Do the Bucks
up.
Win this weekend or not?
Yes. Yes. They're at home.
Yes, they're
Panthers
at home.
Panthers are struggling. They're going to win.
So.
Back
so
against
too.
The wall.
If they don't win this game, I think it's a massive disappointment.
If they don't win this
massive.
Game.
I'll tell you what.
It's going to get ugly in a hurry.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa, yeah. Like, wheels are going to fall off. This
they go to New Orleans?
Correct. Or, the next week.
Yeah, they lose that game. So they got to win this game.
It's interesting. Talking about other teams, the Buccaneers faced the Jaguars in the preseason and really won that game. Looked dominant and stopped the run with that Leonard Fournette in the game.
Well,
you know?
Leonard didn't play that game.
Right.
But here's the deal. I mean, Buccaneer fans are upset about the lack of sacks. How many in six games? Seven? I mean, don't worry about it, guys. Look at the Jaguars. They can't sack the quarterback either, right?
33 to start the year.
See, that's amazing.
10 sacks in back-to-back games, NFL record.
Did we see that
nuts.
Coming?
No.
Trevor, when we were in Jacksonville?
I mean, they were talented, but nobody sees 33 sacks after
you know what,
six,
though?
Seven games.
You know, A.J. Bowie said, he's the Jacksonville Jaguars cornerback, he said that Doug Marrone had a really, really physical training camp.
Yes.
And he feels like they got a little banged up because of it, but that really hardened the football team. And that's something we've talked about dating back to this training camp on this podcast, saying, wow, this is the softest training camp we've ever seen.
It was like a college or even a high school practice. You had these guys running gassers.
Yes.
And it was brutally hot in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Didn't matter if they spent 2 hours banging helmets with the Buccaneers. Line up, blow the whistle, run. Oh, jumped off sides, you guys back up 5 yards. Yeah. I mean, it literally was like watching, you know, a high school team. And talking to
it's
some Jacksonville media up there, that's really what they said. This is what this team needed after the Gus Bradley, do what you want, hey guys, everything's great kind of a thing. They brought in the military type atmosphere, and that's exactly what this team needed, and they've responded well to it.
If you want to be a physical football team, you need to live in, you need to create and live in and operate in a physical work environment.
Well, I think Dirk Cutter next year should take these boys to
Junction City?
Yes, yes.
The Junction Boys?
Yep. Get Ray Perkins out of retirement. And just in a dirt field somewhere.
No grass, just
Junction
dirt.
Junction Boys.
You know, you boys can't have any water till you can't spit anymore.
There you go.
That was my dad's rule when he coached football in 1979. If we couldn't spit, we got water finally. We were that dehydrated we couldn't.
I get the tough football thing. Never really got the let's dehydrate until
let's
you die thing.
Yeah, let's get heat stroke thing.
That's
not
really
Trevor,
a
– trust me, it got hot in Kansas, like the furnace wind. Yeah. There was no, there wasn't
I know,
any humidity
dude. I
there.
Yeah, the Midwest is awful.
Yeah, but it's hot. Okay,
it was like tumbleweeds blowing.
When I played,
in
high school football, the coaches said that you needed to hydrate before practice because we had one water break in a 2-hour practice. One. And it was at the 1-hour mark. So
Did you guys have a water hose? Because that's what
yes.
we had. A water hose. And
we
if
had
you're
a water
in the back
hose,
of the line, you were screwed.
We had a hose and a water fountain. And the water fountain, the temperature was a little bit cooler because it was in the shade of the stadium. The hose, the coaches kept it out in the sun.
Right.
So you're drinking hot water. So you either got the hotter water in the shorter line for the hose, or you waited in line at the fountain. And the problem is you had a 5-minute water break, and we had 2 football teams, so about 50 kids.
Yeah.
So you do the math on that. And sometimes you sat there and you said, wow, I'm in line for the fountain. I might not make it. I'm going to go be here and do the hose because, it was rough. It was very rough. And there's no way in the world that would ever happen again.
No, they put you in jail.
Yeah, if you're a coach. But back in the day, that's how they did it.
All right, game this Sunday, 1 p.m., Raymond James Stadium. Plenty of tickets still available.
You pick the Buccaneers to win. I do. Trevor, you do as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But do not bet on this game.
What?
Do not bet on your Buccaneers. I'm just saying. Just don't do it. I don't even know what the spread is, but stay away from it. I would say that they're going to win, but I would not put money on it. But if you want to put money on any other game, or if you do want to bet on the Bucs, it's fine. Or college football, NBA, NHL. How about World Series? You can do so on mybookie.ag. It is the official online gaming site of PewterReport.com. You've heard us talk about it. If you haven't signed up yet, what are you waiting for? Mybookie.ag is going to give you a 100% match on your initial deposit. So if you put in $100, boom, you got $200 in your account. If you put in $500, boom, you have $1,000 of which to do your online gaming with. They also have live in-game betting, too, so you don't have to just sit there and pick a point spread winner. You can also bet inside the game, first quarter, halftime, anything like that. So tons of options. I have a lot of fun. I've been doing very well in college football.
You are a little bit of a gambling man now.
I am. It's fun. I'm winning. I'm up.
It's always good.
I'm impressing myself with my college football picks. Doing it very conservatively, but still, it's a good time. So mybookie.ag, now to get that match in your deposit, you've got to use the promo code Pewter, P-E-W-T-E-R. So when you log on, create an account, you're going to say that you heard about it from PewterReport.com's Pewter Nation podcast. And then when they ask for the promo code, you're going to put in Pewter. And when you do so, your deposit will be matched 100%. So don't wait. There's football games Thursday night. There's World Series action all week, and, of course, this weekend, big college football weekend, a lot of rivalries going on, K-State, KU, Florida, Georgia.
Florida State, Boston College, Friday night.
Bet on Georgia.
There you go.
Yeah
but I've already done that. I've already bet on
Georgia. Put the damn house on Georgia.
Yeah, mybookie.ag, promo code Pewter.
All right, fellas, appreciate it. We'll be back following the game on Sunday, hopefully with some better news than we've had the last couple weeks. Buccaneers at Panthers on Sunday. Appreciate everybody listening to our podcast. Until we see you again on Sunday, I'm Mark Cook for Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sikkema saying see you.
Happy birthday.
No, it's fake news.